Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Come, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Bible it says, Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit yourself to the Lord, and he, whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. I think this means to me, you know, go out there, commit everything you have to the Lord, and he will help you, and he will have a hand on you, lead you through your life when you know he's there by you. Pray to him. Ask him to help you. He will be right there, holding your hand, and guiding you through the way. So when you leave, know that the God is always with you. And commit yourself and believe in him. And with that, let's have a great service. Thank you all. God bless.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody here? Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see you all here today on this Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a special Sunday celebrating the Christ entry as a king into Jerusalem, the last week of his life in this world. That starts today and then end on Easter Sunday, next Sunday. So we have passed through Lent, and we studied a book of Ephesians, how we discipline our lives as Christians we live in this world. So this week we continue with the Lent season that ends on Thursday. We'll have a service on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock with Holy Communion. Hosanna means save us now. So I'll go through that in my message. Today we'll have a special celebration with the children waving the palm leaves. They will process through that during our first opening hymn. So you can also wave your palm leaves at them as they process through there and go back to their church. I'll give you some quick updates on the announcements that are listed in the back of the second page in the bulletin. Our Easter week celebration, like I told you, will have Thursday night at 6 o'clock. We'll have service here with Holy Communion. Please join, most all of you can. And also use Good Friday for personal meditation of the Word and prayer. Spend in prayer on Good Friday. And on April 20, Easter Sunday, next Sunday, we'll have a special combined service with the Hispanic group. And we'll have songs in Hispanic and message. Pastor Nelson will be preaching the message and Arlette will translate. So it's going to be a special service for all of us next Sunday. So please join us for that. Those are the regular announcements are listed there. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church through your prayers, gifts, and services, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. I have an update on, we have been looking for somebody to help us when I'm not here, and also to train somebody as a pastor. I've been talking to somebody by name Tim Owens, who was who was ordained in a Baptist church, but he was planning to join the Methodist church before the schism happened. But he decided to stay independent like we did. So he and his wife will be joining with us on the last Sunday of the month where we have lunch. So we'll get to know them, and hopefully he will be preaching in the month of May and June. And that gives us some backup for a pastor that when we need it, when I'm on vacation, or eventually if he can be a pastor for this church, we can look forward to that. Let's see how that goes. And also the good news is that the credentials that when I was in United Methodist Church and we separated, was cancelled when we separated, and AIM has reinstated my credentials. I had an interview with the board last week, and they are going to give me full ordination, reinstate my credentials and ordination in June. So that is a good news. So we will be all covered with all cases, and thank you all for working with us together during this time of transition. Those are the announcements that I have. Let us continue worshiping God together. As we sing the opening hymn, you can have the children line up. And then when we sing the opening hymn, please stand up and wave your palm leaves at the children as they process through this middle of the row going back. and they will go out into the sanctuary to their service area. The opening hymn is hymn number 280, All Glory, Lord and Honor. It is also on the screen. Please join. If you are able, please stand. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday that you have given us. One more day in our life to worship you together in this place and also online. As we come before you today to worship you, Lord, we celebrate the Palm Sunday, Christ's final week in Jerusalem, as we remember it. On this Sunday that you entered the holy city of Jerusalem and the crowds cheered and cried, Hosanna, save us now, acknowledging Jesus is the Savior who came to save us. But as we progress toward the story of the Lent, toward Easter, we see the entire crowd turning against you and give you the cross and the crown of thorns and crucifixion. Heavenly Father, as we come before you to worship together, we pray that your grace will give us every day to remember and reflect on our lives, the sacrifice that you made. Help us, Lord, to understand that the sacrifice you made for us gave us eternity to share with you. You came to rule in our lives, not as a king, but as a humble servant riding on a donkey. The light of your peace shine like the dawn. Give us eyes of faith, God, so we see Christ who is present today and also who is coming again. We thank you again for your presence in our midst today. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We adore you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our fellowship time now. If you're able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Listen to it at home on the radio. So today we're singing Mountain Over the Hilltop, page 23, red book.
Be on the screen too. Responsive reading as you remain standing is Psalm 118 verses 14 through 29. It's on page 839 in the Blue Book.
The right hand of the Lord does violently, the right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does violently.
I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter the room, them, and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is His marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord.
O Lord, we beseech you, give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, who has given us light.
Lead the feast in procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will exalt you.
I'll give thanks to the Lord, who is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
Give the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We come before God with our prayers of blessings so we can thank God for the blessings that we receive in our lives. Also, we will bring our prayers of petitions and concerns and burdens together and lift them up to the throne of grace of God, trusting in God's promise that He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. So let us turn to the back of the bulletin where the prayers are listed in that boxes there. Those are the regular prayers that we pray. Please keep these people and these items in your prayers every day, in your regular prayers. Pray for Jean and Grace and Harry and Carol and Jerry Rains. Please keep them in our continued prayers. And also pray for Thomas John, who had a kidney transplant. He is recovering really well. And also pray for George Richard Jones, Sean Amy Conway, and pray for the family of Wes, who passed away at their grief time, so that God will give them the peace. Pray for the earthquake victims in Southeast Asia. And also pray for the service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who serve us behind the scenes. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and all governors and many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom. Also pray for world leaders as they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Let's keep our church in our prayers every day, this church in our ministry here, and also all the churches in this community, the pastors and all the work that they're doing, and all the church at large around the world, missionaries who work in various parts of the world, especially in difficult circumstances, having problems preaching the gospel in many parts of the world. So let us keep them in our prayers. Those are the regular prayer requests that I have. Anybody have any special call out for prayer? Yeah, Wayne is going to have a surgery the last week of this month. 24th. Please keep Wayne in our prayers. Liliana is also not feeling well. So please keep Liliana in our prayers. That family in our prayers. We don't know them, but God knows who they are. So please keep that family in our prayers as they're grieving through this difficult time. And there was several crashes, plane crashes, small plane crashes. One helicopter crash in New York, you probably have seen that. There's one in Florida. A lot of things are happening around us that are bad news every day. So let us pray that God will intervene and give them the grace to go through these difficult times as they're passing through these times. If nobody else has any special call outs, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer and then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Gracious and merciful God, we come before you as your children, with our prayers of praises and thanksgiving for all the blessings that you give us every day. Even when we are aware of it, Lord, thank you for your safe and protection that you give us every day. Thank you for covering us with your love. And we come before you with our burdens and our concerns also, O God. Many of us are broken in our bodies and we need healing in our bodies. As we lifted up the names of people that are here, pray for Jean McPrayer and Grace Haynes and Harry Bezor, Carol Clements and Jerry Raines, and Sean and Amy Conway, we pray for healing for all these people. We also pray for Thomas John, who is recovering. Thank you for your continued healing for him also. We pray for the family of Wes, who is grieving at the death of him. We pray for peace and your comforting presence during this time of grief that they are going through. We pray for the earthquake victims in the Southeast Asia. A lot of people are suffering, Lord. A lot of people lost their lives. We pray that your special grace be upon that area and the people who are working there with the relief works, that we pray that your special grace be upon them and give them peace and comfort during this time, Lord. We pray for pray for Kay Ness, that Lisa shared here today. Pray for that her cancer treatment at this time. We pray for your grace upon her. Give her peace, Lord. Give her peace for her family. We pray for the family that someone committed suicide, that as we hear today, we pray for your grace upon that family. Comfort them, Lord. Give them peace. And your presence be with them, O God. We pray for our nation, our leaders of the Congress, our president, and many others who make decisions, that they will fear God and will be guided by God's wisdom, that they will make good decisions that will bring good to our economy, our people, that will have a solid and stable nation economically and socially, that will be united together to lead the world. We pray for the world leaders who make decisions, that they will also fear God, that it will bring peace to this world. We pray for our church and we thank you for this time of history that you gave us to be here to minister in this community. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using the opportunities that you have given us. Lord, we pray for all the churches and the pastors and the ministries that they are doing in this community. We pray for the world church at large, all the missionaries and people who work in various parts of the world among obstacles and oppositions. We pray for your grace and strength and power of the Holy Spirit to be with them. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, that in our singing, in our meditation of the word, and in our prayers, everything that we do here bring honor and glory to your name. Touch us, Lord, according to our needs, and fill us our hearts with the needs of our hearts as we go from this place. Empower us with your Holy Spirit so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology. boundless love gave us everything in Jesus. And through belief in him, you offer us life in your kingdom. Accept our gifts, but as we give, warm and soften our hearts to lead us into lives which reflect your generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Luke 19, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. As we come before your word and meditate on it, give us the grace to be humble before your word. Open our hearts so that we can receive your word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today, Lord. As we remember your triumphant entry into Jerusalem, help us, Lord, to understand you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not only for this world but also in our lives, that we can discipline our lives under your authority and in your Holy Spirit. Thank you again for the word that you're going to give us. Open our heart to receive it so that we can be a blessing to this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the biggest moments in Jesus' ministry is about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He rode a donkey, a colt, according to what we read here today, whatever animal that was. Many translations say it's a donkey, which was common at that time for riding. So he took one of those donkeys and rode into Jerusalem, the last week of his life in this world. And the parade was very joyous, and the people were celebrating that Jesus has come to save them. We have seen the parades, especially when we have a new president who is swearing in, that you will see every 4 years with a black limousine. He would come and wave at people like that in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you have seen it this past January. It was cold, but still they had the parade. So similar to that, they had this parade of a king coming. And they celebrated that. And this particular event is listed in all four Gospels. And all of them have detailed descriptions of this event. So it's very important event in the ministry of Jesus' life. So he entered into Jerusalem towards the last days. The people were cheering and crowding and singing, "Hosanna, save us." So there's some story behind it that we need to understand why they did this. And in about 5 days from now, 6 days from now, the whole crowd turned around in the opposite side and say, "Crucify him." The one who sang Hosanna turned against him and say, "Crucify him." And God's people have been praying earnestly for a king, because their kingdom the Jewish people, the Israelites, were taken over by the Roman Empire. Roman Empire was building vast and vast and expanding the whole world at that time, and they took over the Palestine and Jewish area. So they were under the rule of Roman Empire. And they were not very happy because they did not give them the freedom. And also they taxed them a lot. And they took the taxes over to Rome from these people who pay taxes in Palestine. So they wanted a king to come and deliver them from the oppression of the Roman rule. So they were praying for it. And their scripture, the Torah, the Jewish scripture, has some reference to a savior who will come and redeem them and release them from this bondage one day. And we read that in Zechariah 14 and also in Zechariah 9, that a king would come into Jerusalem on a donkey. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout. See, your king is coming, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey on a colt." The fall of a donkey. So that is why they thought Jesus was this person. So they started rejoicing and making celebrations, and they said, "You are the king. Come and take up this kingdom and fight against the Romans. Get them out of here. So we don't want to be under bondage anymore." So they thought Jesus was the king, the Messiah that the Old Testament was, the prophet was talking about. And but towards the end of the week, as we come to Wednesday and Thursday, you see that things started turning a little bit around. It is not the same type of king that they were expecting. They were expecting a king who would come and fight. But here is a king who came, and he is fighting with the message of love, compassion, and forgiveness. That is what Jesus was preaching. It was not very easy for them to understand how a king can take over the kingdom by love and compassion and patience and forgiveness. But look what happened thousands of years now. Jesus' kingdom continued to grow spiritually. We see the kingdom of Jesus building up day by day, and we are part of that kingdom now, because the kingdom of love and care and compassion wins over the kingdom of power and authority and might and bombs and swords. That's what history has taught us. That is what we are Christians are practicing every day. It is not about might and strength. It is about love that we need to spread to take over this world from evil. So that's the lesson that they did not understand. So they turned against him. But this story has a very interesting twist. When you look at the story in all these Gospels, he wanted a donkey to go to enter into Jerusalem. He came from Nazareth, about 90 miles north where he came from. So he probably came all the way down there the day before. And then he sent his disciples to a home. And then it's very strange that he sends these disciples to a home that had a donkey and asked them to go untie it and bring it to him. And then he says, if anyone asks you, why are you untying the donkey, tell them the Lord needs it. And they went and did that. Everybody kind of, it's interesting to think about it. If you come out of your house one morning and find a stranger was getting into your car and about to drive away, and you're asking, why are you getting into my car? And he responds, saying that the Lord needs it, what would be your reaction? It may not be fun. It may not be very charitable. You probably, if you have a gun at home, probably you go and beat that. But something will happen there, not very good. But here, that is the most interesting thing. All the gospel writers write that it happened the way Jesus said. Go untie this donkey, and if the owner asks you, why are you doing this, tell them the Lord needs it. And they did. And they went, and the owner gave him the donkey. So what's the lesson that we have to look at from this incident? Some theologians, liberal theologians, say to explain this, to make you understand better, is that they say, oh, Jesus already had some arrangements with this guy. So when the disciples went and told them that, that's why he gave him freely. But probably not so. The background of the description on all the four Gospels does not say that. So the bottom line that we look at here is the word that says the Lord needs it. In the Greek original version of the passage, it reads, the Lord's donkey is needed. That's what it says in Greek. The Lord's donkey is needed. And the owner probably understood what that means. The donkey, even though it belonged to him, is not his donkey. We all have these possessions that God gave us. Many times we think that is ours. Our family, our children, yes, they are ours. But it was given to you. The family, our children, everything that we have in our lives is given to you, even though you think that it is yours. That is one lesson that we can learn from here. When God needs it, he will ask you, and are you able to say that, yes, Lord, here it is. Take it and use it. It was the fulfillment of a prophecy, first of all, that I told you in Zechariah, the prophet had prophesied that a king would come on a donkey and release them and redeem them from this oppression. And probably the owner had read this and learned this in the synagogue, so he probably thought this is a good time for his donkey to be used for somebody like a Messiah. He gave it to him. Donkeys have been used by kings in the Old Testament a lot. We see that Solomon, when he was announced as the king, he rode on a donkey. So it was not unusual at that time in their history that there was many instances in Judges and Samuel. We read about people riding donkeys in special occasions. So the faith of the owner in the scripture and also in Jesus, that this is something that has to happen, so he decided to give the donkey. And the disciples also trusted in Jesus, that when he said it to go untie a donkey, if I tell you as a pastor to go and get somebody's car from the next door, I don't think you would say I'm crazy. But the disciple trusted Jesus. And that is exactly what God is expecting from his people, to trust him without questioning. When God asks you something and you know that it's the right thing to do, do it, because God wants you to do it, and do it boldly without fear. The owner gave them the donkey. All of them had the faith that made them follow what Jesus asked for. On a basic level, the owner of the donkey had faith that his animal would not be harmed, and most likely Jesus would return that donkey. That's what God's promise is. When God asks you something, give to God, and the promise is that it will be multiplied. Remember the little boy who was in the crowd listening to Jesus in the preaching, while Jesus was preaching. He had five loaves of bread and two fish. You remember, well, everybody knows the story. What happened to that little boy? When they asked him, he gave it to them. Why did he give it to them? I would not give it to them. My mom gave me to eat for lunch, and this is all my lunch is. But, you know, some liberal theologians, they say that the disciples took it from forcefully, but I don't believe that. They asked for him. And he knew that there is a purpose behind it. And Jesus, who is preaching to us, can do better things with this five loaves of bread and two fish. And that's exactly what happened. When that little boy gave it up, it became multiplied. Multiplied to the extent that it fed thousands and thousands of people. And we read that, you know, feeding the 5,000, but it was 5,000 just men. And you talk about men and women and children there. It probably 10, 15,000 people were fed because of that little boy's trust in Jesus and obedience. So that's the same thing that happened here. Then there's an element of choice here. We also have the choice to give God back to him. Many people say that if God wants it back, why did he give it to me? Many times when we go through situations of grief, particularly. And I have seen several people asking this question. When a little child passed away, when he was 2 years old, then the parents could not take it. Even though they were Christians, they were questioning God. He said, if God did not want us this child, why did he even give it to us? It is natural that we ask that question. But remember, God knows the best for us. He gave it to us for some reason. He probably wanted them to keep that baby for 2 years for some reason that we don't understand at this point. But one day it will all become clear that we will be with Jesus and we will know why exactly these things happened. So remember that whatever God is taking or asking you to give up, don't be afraid. Don't be upset. There is a purpose behind it, and God can do better things with that in your situation than we can do. So that's an element of choice that we have to exercise, that it would be of more use to him than being put to whatever use we have. God can use it better than we can. Give God all you have, your wealth, your talents, your assets. God can use it better than we can. That the scripture says in 1 Peter, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God calls us to use all of our gifts, talents, and influence, and money, and positions to serve others. Everybody has gifts. There is no superior gifts or no inferior gifts. We are all blessed with some kind of gift. Some people can pray. Some people can sing. Some people can play the piano and the instruments. Some people can preach, teach. Not everybody has the same gift. But we all have some kind of gift. We can even listen to somebody. That's a gift. Rather than talking. To be a presence somewhere when your presence is needed. So those kind of gifts are all always in us that we can identify and use to bless others. Often people wait and wait to find the perfect time to use your skills, right? Whenever people decide to do something like to start a business or do a ministry work or something, they are looking for the perfect timing. There is no perfect time to start. The perfect time to start is now. Because very few successful people began their pursuit of their call with that kind of ideal moment. There is no ideal moment. Whatever is the ideal moment is now, and we can start using our talents and our blessings to bless others for the purpose of God's kingdom in this world. The donkey was not ridden by anyone. That's what we read there, that it was never ridden by anybody. It talks about that the donkey has no experience in carrying somebody. That's really puzzled me. Because God, if Jesus wanted a donkey to be used as an animal to ride through this crowd, it has to have some experience before. But this road donkey had no experience in it. I don't know how that happened and how the donkey reacted, but we didn't see any bad problems happening there. The donkey was obedient, and it did. But that also gives us a lesson that sometimes we think that, oh, I don't have experience in this area. So Lord, leave me alone. I don't know how to do this. But God can use people without experience, without background. God does not look at your skills. I've read something like this, that God does not call the equipped. He will equip the called. Calling comes first, like Moses, like David. Like anybody in the ministry, the apostles, they were not prepared or they were not trained. They were not theologians or anything. But as we accept the call, God can give us the skills. God can make the skills for us. And he will guide us. Moses was a stammering person. Moses, the leader who led Israelites from the bondage of Egyptian Pharaoh. And God asked him to go and talk to Pharaoh in the palace. He was trembling. First of all, he was a shy person, and that's what the Bible says. He does not like to speak before others. And also he stuttered. And he told God several times, God, leave me alone. I am a stuttering person. I am a shy person. I cannot go. And God gave him. He said, if you are stutter, your brother Aaron does not stutter. He will go with you. He will translate what you're saying. So don't worry about it. So God will give you the equipment and the circumstances and the provisions that you need when you answer the call. That is what this donkey, even though it was not experienced, God used this donkey, Jesus used this donkey to become the animal that he rode on. And also it says the purity. I mean, when somebody has not ridden, it's also saying that the purity of that animal itself. According to the scripture, you will ride on a donkey that was never ridden by anyone, that God wants to use it, the first person to ride in it. That is, did not have any experience before, it was pure. The Lord has need of everyone in unique ways, as long as we accept the call. The scripture says in Romans that in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Think of all the people who made up the physical body of the church. Without the efforts of each one of us in our share of supporting the church, we would not be here. That is what the Church of Jesus Christ is. So God is asking us to commit whatever we can to help with the church and the use our gifts for the spreading of the gospel in this world. As we spend our time, our service, our time and talents and witness, as we read every day, that I remind you, our presence, our gifts, our service and witness. Everybody can do that, and everybody is supposed to do that. I give our time and service and witness for God's kingdom in this world. So God may be asking something for you today, from you today. But don't be afraid. Give it to God. He can use it, and He can multiply that to bless other people in this world. Jesus performed the first miracle. You happen to remember the first miracle that Jesus did? He turned water into wine in a wedding place in Cana. And it was a very, very important miracle, and it is also preached about a lot. But one thing there that we see, that God can use even water. The simple water that was kept outside, in the Jewish custom, they have these pitchers of water outside the door. So as they come into the door, they have to wash their hands and feet. That's what the purpose of that is. But God used those pitchers outside the house, and the same water, and they filled with that water, and then it became a precious wine for the invited guests. And those pitchers became honorable vessels inside the house that were outside. So that's what God does. When we give ourselves into God's hands, He can use more than we can imagine. A donkey became a precious animal at that time. I think that owner of the donkey, probably when he got it back, he would said, "I would never ever sell this donkey, because Jesus rode on this donkey. I want to keep this donkey forever." That is what happens when we give it to God. The donkey awakened. So I was also thinking about the donkey. Without Jesus, that donkey is nothing, right? Because the next day, if the donkey woke up and said, "Hey, I went there yesterday, they all, you know, sang praises to me and gave me the clothes laid their clothes on the ground and waved leaves at me," and if the next day he went alone, you know what would have happened? the people would kick him out of the street and say, "Go back somewhere." So without Jesus, we are nobody. That's what the donkey tells us, the story of the donkey, the entry into Jerusalem. As long as Jesus is the Lord of our lives, we are somebody, and we are part of God's kingdom. We are God's children. So that is also a lesson that we need to learn. An antique collector, I will close with this story, that an antique collector purchased a beautiful violin. It's a famous violin by Stradivarius. I don't know how you say that. It's called Stradivarius violin. It's very important violin. He brought that in an antique show, and one day the famous violinist Fritz Kreisler came to visit this person, and he saw this violin in his house. So he said, "Well, where did you get this violin from?" I said, "He bought it in an antique sale. I've been wanting a violin like that for years." And he said, "Would you sell it to me?" And he said, "No, I think I bought it because I wanted to keep it. It is one of my prized possessions." So he said, "Okay, that's fine. Can you let me play? Would you let me play that violin?" And he said, "Yeah, of course." And then Kreisler took the violin and started playing. And then the owner realized that this violin is probably better useful in his hands than his own. So he gave it to him and said, "This is better for you to use than I keep it as a precious commodity." Let us give God whatever we have into His hands. God can use it. Jesus Christ has created beautiful music. in our lives. We have no right to keep it to ourselves. The master musician can use it and make it much better and be a blessing to multiplied blessing to many, many people around us. There's a beautiful hymn that we sing. It's called, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Take my let it be consecrated to Thee, O God. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. And take my hands and let them move. And take my feet and let them be swift. Take my voice and let me sing. Take my silver and my gold. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my love, O God, and pour. I am pouring it at Thy feet as a treasure for Your store. Take myself, and I will be ever and ever for Thee. That's what the hymn says. So as we remember this great celebration today, there's a big story behind it about the donkey and the owner of the donkey, which is used by Jesus Christ. Give Him what we have, and He can use it better than we can. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place and be powerful witnesses for Him in the days to come. Amen. The closing hymn is "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." It's 298. It's also on the screen. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn. You go from this place, God may be nudging you, the Holy Spirit may be nudging you to give somebody something or give God something. Don't be afraid. It is better to be used in God's hands than our hands. May the good Lord bless us this as we go from this place. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.